The Jewish Community Center in Whitefish Bay was shut down for a fourth time in 6 weeks just this past Sunday after a threatening email was sent to it. Last week, Governor Walker visited the center and he called these threats a form of domestic terrorism and vowed to provide additional law enforcement. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. It is 8.5 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, March 15th. We are going to talk about the rise in anti-Semitic incidents in Wisconsin and across the nation during this hour. There have been more than 80 Jewish centers receiving more than 100 threats since the beginning of the year. What is going on? We will welcome your thoughts and your concerns and what you think ought to be done about this. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Ilana Khan, director of the Jewish Community Relations Council of the Milwaukee Jewish Federation. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, so, I mean, let's, from a broad perspective, nationally, more than 80 Jewish community centers and schools were subjected to bomb threats and other threats over the past, since the beginning of the year. What's your reaction to this?
First of all, thanks for having me on. It's, you know, the Jewish community has been monitoring. Part of my function is to monitor and respond to anti-Semitism. And we've been doing it for years and years and years. I mean, that we started almost 80 years ago exactly for that function. So it's not a new concern, obviously. And understanding that America is very good, it's a good place to be Jewish. There is less anti-Semitism here than there is in lots of places in the world. It's a good place to be Jewish. But we have seen over the last 5 years a threefold increase in anti-Semitic incidents. And the last 2 months, the first 2 months of this year have really been, there's been an unprecedented number of incidents, including, like you said, the JCC bomb threat, as we've had, I think, five in Milwaukee. But also, there have been federations that have been threatened. There have been cemeteries that have been desecrated, St. Louis and Philadelphia. So I think if I can put it in a larger context, I think that we saw in the presidential campaign the rise of a kind of extremist language that has been very damaging to lots of communities. The Southern Poverty Law Center puts out their statistics, and we see immigrants being targeted at just unbelievable ways. Immigrants, Muslims, and LGBT people, and also Jews. So I think that it's a real reflection of what we've seen as a sort of normalization of hate speech and hate incidents, and sort of an acceptance that this is okay. It's okay to speak your mind. It's okay, you know. Say what you got to say. I think it sort of comes from people have been given permission.
Yeah, and it's not okay though, right?
Of course, it's not okay. you know, it's interesting. I just saw that the Milwaukee Independent won an award from the Milwaukee Press Club, and so I looked at, and it was for a story that was about me, which was very nice. But part of what the headline, it was sort of a flashy headline, was something that I said about the hatred of Jews is a bellwether for hatred of the other generally, because Jews are sort of the penultimate other. You know, starting from the birth of religion, Jews were, the birth of Christianity, certainly, Jews were a significant other. So often we can sort of take the temperature of a society and how it treats all of its all of those who aren't part of the, you know, the mainstream by how it treats its Jews. That is not to say that hatred of Jews is worse than hatred of other people, but that it can be a thermometer. And it was interesting because it seemed like an outrageous thing to say that. And I was quoting, by the way, Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, who's a former chief rabbi of Great Britain. And looking at it today, it certainly continues to seem true. Of course, it's totally frightening. You know, the Jewish community, I can speak from sort of where I come from, the Jewish community is generally feels very comfortable. And I think a lot of people are, you know, we hear from our parents what it was like to grow up Jewish in America, and as maybe first generation, maybe second generation Americans. You know, I hear from my father, who talked about getting beat up on the way home from school and being called a kike. And it just seems, you know, I know it's true, but that was so much not my experience. So I think that this has really sown a sense of insecurity and a sense of outrage. And I think that it's also hopefully spurring people to, and I think it is, it's spurring people to action. You know, we have power. And I can say that I have been really heartened because I've had so many people with whom I work regularly from all different faith communities, ethnic communities, who have reached out and said, you know, we stand with you. What can we do? What can we do to demonstrate that this isn't okay? So, you know, hopefully these are different times. Hopefully this is a little pocket in time, but it is frightening.
Yeah. So what can people do to make sure others understand that we don't think it's okay?
Well, I think we have to keep in mind that hatred is hatred. So if today it's targeting Jews, it's also targeting Muslims and Arabs and LGBT people and immigrants and Latinos and African Americans. And hatred is the same. It's an organism. And it changes its target, but it is the same essential organism all the time. So if I'm not okay, you're not okay. And if you're not okay, I'm not okay. So I think that we have to really keep in mind that even if we're not the targets at that particular moment, we're not paying the price, we as a society pay a price. So what we can do, I think, is that we have to wake up every day and decide that we reject it. And we have to change our own minds, be conscious of our own thoughts, conscious of our own speech. And that's not sort of the talk of, you know, delicate snowflakes, but the talk of being, you know, being part of society. And a beautiful, diverse society. We have a responsibility to sort of be clear about what comes out of our mouth and how it hits other people. And we have to make decisions about how we educate our children. And we have to make decisions about how we treat our neighbors. And I would say at this moment, we have to keep showing up in Jewish facilities. We have to reject what I think is a very clear intention to isolate the Jewish community. And I think that, you know, the very best thing people can do is join the JCC. There are, by the way, on the campus, there are four different agencies. It's the JCC, but there's another preschool, there are two elementary schools, and there's a teen program. So I think people have to keep showing up and physically be in our spaces, come to our museum, and show that they don't accept that worldview.
Fran in Delafield emailed, outside of President Trump's brief admonishment of those perpetrating these heinous acts, has the White House taken any action toward dealing with this domestic terrorism?
You know, it is hard to tell. I know that our members of Congress have, both the senators and the representatives, have sent letters to Homeland Security Secretary Kelly, Attorney General Sessions, and the FBI director, expressing concern and asking for action. I can tell you that I don't know. That's my answer. But I always think if I don't know, that maybe that's a good sign. there's been a lot of pressure, and I know that he has met with members of, you know, those who work on security for the Jewish community.
Yeah. And we have just a minute before a news break, but there was some criticism of President Trump that it took him as long as it did to condemn the acts. But what was your reaction?
Oh, absolutely. Not just that. I think there's plenty of criticism to direct his way on the way he's handled this. I think that, you know, I can think of four things. During his campaign, people said disgusting things. And He didn't stop them. And that's a huge problem and a huge failing. And then just quickly, UN Holocaust Remembrance Day in January, and he didn't mention Jews at all. And you know what? Jews were targeted for genocide, and more than 6 million Jews were killed, and he needed to say that was Jewish. That's part of Holocaust denial, to sort of separate the Jews from the Holocaust. During his inauguration, I guess I have to go back a week before that, during his inauguration, he continued to use language that he knows is incredibly problematic, to say America first, America first, America first. He had been told, please don't say that. That echoes back to World War II, when America refused to get involved and help the Jews of Europe.
I have to jump in because we do have news next. We'll pick up after the news. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about the rise in anti-Semitic incidents in Wisconsin and across the nation this hour. There have been 80 Jewish centers nationwide receiving more than 100 threats since the beginning of the year. The Jewish Community Center in Whitefish Bay also targeted. We are welcoming your thoughts and questions and concerns about these threats at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. So why do you think this is happening? What do you think ought to be done about it? How is it affecting you? How is it affecting you, especially if you are in the Jewish community? Have you or has your family been affected by these incidents or threats? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Our guest is Ilana Kahn, director of the Jewish Community Relations Council of the Milwaukee Jewish Federation. A little closer to home, let's talk about the threats facing the Jewish Community Center in Whitefish Bay. I'm looking at a story from one of the Milwaukee TV stations that said there was an email sent on Sunday, this past Sunday, and that resulted in shutting down the Jewish Community Center yet again. And I said they reported it was the fourth time in 6 weeks. You've actually heard, Ilana, that there's been five such incidents.
Yeah, I probably misspoke. It probably is four. I trust them.
The leaders considered it was probably a false alarm or a copycat or someone, but they still have to shut down. The police still have to investigate. Mm-hmm. They called it a major inconvenience. And it's got to just be really troubling that, you know, it seems like just about every week or every other week this is happening.
Right. It has been. And, you know, one of the ironic things is that the JCC of all of the Jewish agencies has a very high percentage of members who are not Jewish. I mean, it's a real gathering place for the neighborhood. So it's ironic that the calls are going into a Jewish facility that serves so many non-Jews. But I also, you know, I have to say it's a total inconvenience, except for Sunday when the schools were not open. It targets the whole campus, the whole Jewish community campus. The campus is owned by the Federation, and there are 5 agencies sitting on the campus. One of them, the biggest, obviously, is the JCC, but there are also 2 K-8 schools. There's a preschool in addition to the JCC's preschool, and there's a teen program. So every time there's an evacuation, it's been 3 times, there have been hundreds of children evacuated. And there have been also, you know, lots of people working out in the gym, and it's been a huge inconvenience. It's also, I mean, I think it also forces parents to think about how they talk about it with their children. And I think up till now, the children are totally fine. It's been fun. The staff at the JCC is amazing. And so the kids have all taken it like a little field trip. And law enforcement has been just incredibly responsive, and everything has moved so smoothly. But it, for grown-ups who know what's happening, I think it's very troubling.
Yeah.
You know, thank God that the bomb, that, you know, they were hoax threats, but they were real incidents and real hate incidents. And they were, so that wasn't false. You know, it was still targeting the Jewish community.
Well, Governor Scott Walker visited last week. He called these threats a form of domestic terrorism, and he says he promised to provide additional law enforcement staffing and intelligence to the Jewish Community Center in Whitefish Bay, so it continues to be a safe place. Do you think this is a positive step? What do you think of this reaction?
It's absolutely a positive step. I think it's, you know, it was heartening to see not only the governor, but also Representative Grossman and also Representative Moore and also Senator Darling was there. And it's heartening to have people show up. I mean, like I said before, that, you know, the best thing people can do is keep showing up and to reject the division that, you know, whoever it is doing this, or whichever group of people is doing this are trying to create. So, yeah, I think it's absolutely a positive thing. It seems surprising that law enforcement hasn't figured this out yet. It seems, you know, hard to understand in the sort of day and age. But I believe, and from everything I've heard, from national networks and local, they are working very hard on it. So,
Well, let me get you to react to Paul from Eau Claire, who emailed, "Until the perpetrators are arrested, we cannot jump to conclusions about their intent. The last one arrested for anti-Semitic bomb threats was an anti-Trump black Muslim trying to frame his ex-girlfriend." Mm-hmm. We did hear reports of this arrest. So should we not jump to conclusions as to the intent of those who are issuing the threats?
Absolutely. I think that's very wise. It's true. I want to say that my comments about President Trump's statements were more about the climate that he created. I am not saying that Trump or Trump supporters are doing this.
Mm-hmm.
I do think, though, that, you know, Juan Thompson, the guy they arrested, he had, you know, who knows what was going on in his life. It was an issue with his girlfriend. I was asked, do I find it comforting that his intent was not to hurt Jews, but to express his heartbreak or whatever it was he was experiencing? Not really. You know, the white supremacist who went to the Oak Creek Temple also apparently had experienced some heartbreak, and so he expressed it the way he knows how to express it, which is that he went and killed people of color, immigrants. So, you know, I think that when a society is permissive about hatred, then that's how people express whatever unpleasant feelings they have. It can be how they express their unpleasant feelings, and that's, you know, it's still not okay. So I think we have to be vigilant. You know, you asked me earlier, my brain has a little lag, what can people do? We have an initiative that we started. We're very clear in the Jewish community that in order for us to be safe, we have to help make sure that everybody else is safe too. And, you know, with starting in the 50s and 60s with Jews helping to lead the civil rights movement until today in the creation of my job, you know, there's a field in the Jewish community devoted for building relationships and fighting for justice and for rights and fighting discrimination against all people. So what I started to say, we have an initiative called Hours Against Hate, which is really about transcending boundaries, getting to know, pledging time to people who are different than we are. And I think that's especially pressing living in Milwaukee, living in Wisconsin. I say Milwaukee because of the extreme segregation in Milwaukee, but it's relevant everywhere. But our extreme segregation, it's urgent that we get to know people who look differently, live differently, love differently, and pray differently than we do.
We are talking with Ilana Khan, Director of the Jewish Community Relations Council of the Milwaukee Jewish Federation. We are talking about the threats, bomb threats that have been targeting Jewish centers around the country, including the Jewish Community Center in Whitefish Bay, shut down for a fourth time in 6 weeks this past Sunday. A threatening email was sent to it. We're talking about why this is happening and how it's affecting the Jewish community, how it's affecting everyone. How you think lawmakers and political leaders should be responding? How are you responding? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let's go to the phones and take Donna in Oshkosh. Hi, Donna.
Hello. Hello.
Good morning.
Thanks for taking my call. I find this to be very heartbreaking. I'm an 81-year-old woman who has lived through the Second World War, so my personal experience has been knowing of the Holocaust. My personal experience has been knowing of when the Israel was formed by the United Nations, and the joy that I felt at that time. It was just wonderful to know that things were going to be different. However, through the years, as we see what has happened over there, we see that there's unrest, and now I put myself in the position of the Palestinians, and I think of myself. If someone would come to my home and say, you must leave your home because somebody else is taking it over, you know, that, goodness sakes, that puts me in a different position than I was back when the United Nations formed Israel. Yeah. So we are in such a complex situation here, and I am sure that this hatred that is deliberately spurred. It's deliberately spurred. And then we have the lineage between the Jews and the Christians. I'm a Christian woman, and certainly my lineage goes back to the New Testament. You know, we are so involved in one another's life that there is no reason at all for hatred here.
Yeah, thank you very much, Donna. What's your reaction to that, Ilana?
I'm with you. I'm with you on all counts. You know, the Episcopal Diocese released a statement. I happen to be in front of my computer, and I'm going to see if I can find it. But they referred to, here it is. They referred to, here. To the World Council of Churches said in 1948 to denounce anti-Semitism, no matter what its origin, as absolutely irreconcilable with the profession and practice of the Christian faith. Anti-Semitism is sin against God and human life. And there are references to Jesus. Took seriously the promise of our baptismal promise to strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being. I think you're totally right. We are all linked, and it is complicated. You know, the best that we can do is to fight, or not fight, but to counter hatred and to work furiously to defend safety and security and dignity for all people.
Yeah, and, Donna was certainly saying there's no excuse for the hate, but also was wondering maybe if some of it is prompted by the conflict in the Middle East between Israel and Palestine.
I didn't hear her say prompted. I think that she was right in saying that it's complicated and it's complex. You know, we, the Jewish community nationally, American Jewish community, and our the consensus in the Jewish community, in the American Jewish community, is a two-state solution. and a negotiated state of peace for both the Israelis and the Palestinians, in which both people live side by side in peace and security and dignity. And it seems to me, having spent a fair amount of time in Israel and studied it until I don't want to study it anymore, and then I've continued to study it, that there's no other way. It cannot be a zero-sum game, and that anybody who really wants to be part of fighting, of working for peace, will can't sit on one side and demonize the other, but really has to create the space for the two-state solution. I do think, however, and this, Donna didn't say this, one of the things that I have found, well, I found confusing in some of the responses to this, to the bomb threats, but also we put out an audit every year. We monitor anti-Semitism throughout the year, and then we put out, in early February, we released mid-February, our audit from 2016. And one of the responses that I've heard more than once is like a blame the victim response that seems to say, well, this is happening because of the conflict in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, or this is happening because you don't work hard enough for other vulnerable populations, or this is happening because you're talking on the news about anti-Semitism, and you know, just stop talking about your own problems. And I think that's all really akin to blaming a rape victim for wearing too short a skirt.
Yeah.
So anti-Semitism is real. We have to stand up against it, and we have to be allies to when all people are being targeted with hatred. And I think, you know, as a separate, totally separate issue, I think we have to, I think if we're interested in peace, we have to not choose sides, and we have to try to understand that it's complicated, as Donna said, and to help support efforts for peace. And, you know, in Israel and in the Palestinian territories, there are wonderful people working for peace. And if anybody wants information on that, I'm very happy. Somebody can reach out to me. I'm happy to share a list of organizations that are doing good work and that would love support.
Yeah. And you're right. Donna didn't say prompted, but was talking about how that was happening and how she might feel. But let's go to Randy in Madison. Hi, Randy.
Yeah, good morning. Here in Madison, we have a group of people that are very avid Holocaust deniers, and but they're not known for that. They're known for their conspiracy theories, and the so I guess what I'm wondering is what kind of anti-Semitism do you hear on the left, defining the left, you know, very, very broadly, and I think we should be careful because groups like the Southern Poverty Law Center, they make their money by telling people that the problems are all on the right, and they're simply not.
You know what, I'm going to have Ilana answer that after news, because we have news next from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and not enough time for a full response. We will take more of your calls as well. After news at 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Ilana Khan is the director of the Jewish Community Relations Council of the Milwaukee Jewish Federation. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking about the rise in anti-Semitic incidents in Wisconsin and across the nation this hour, and talking about why this is happening and what can or should be done about it, welcoming your questions, your experiences, your thoughts, your suggestions, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Ilana Khan is our guest, director of the Jewish Community Relations Council of the Milwaukee Jewish Federation. We heard from a caller just before our news break who said, I guess to paraphrase what he said there's anti-Semitism happening not only on the political right, but on the political left. You want to talk a little bit about that, Ilana? Is he right?
Oh, absolutely. I think in recent years we've seen, in this country, we've seen much more anti-Semitism on the far left. And I think with this election, we've seen the renewal of anti-Semitism on the far right. You know, and it's interesting because it's, you know, if everything's a circle, this is where the far left and the far right meet each other. And I think they're minorities. You know, I mean, to me, it's really clear that the rest of us, people of goodwill, need to let the extremists stay in the extremes. Let them stay there and not entertain them as sort of the middle ground. He also asked, what anti-Semitism, what anti-Semitism looks like on the left. Is that right?
Yeah, something along those lines, yeah.
Yeah, I took notes because, you know, I knew it was going to be a issue. And I can't hold too many thoughts in my head at the same time. I'm kidding. But
yeah, he said that on the political right, you see the Holocaust deniers, and he wondered what do we see on the political left?
Right. So I think that, you know, globally, there are sort of the trends that we're seeing globally include Holocaust denial and Holocaust revisionism and Holocaust glorification, ultra-nationalism, you know, hating everybody who isn't like you. And then there's the old-style anti-Semitism of conspiracies, of deicide, that includes, you know, stereotyping and all that. And then we also have what's more common on the left, but it's when criticism, legitimate criticism of Israel, crosses over into anti-Semitism. And we sort of talk about it in terms of these three Ds that Natan Sharansky, who used to be a political prisoner in the former Soviet Union and now is the head of the Jewish Agency for Israel, and he talked about the three Ds that signal that legitimate criticism of Israel has become anti-Semitism. He talked about delegitimization, double standards, so applying double standards to Israel, and demonization, where we don't just talk about, you know, fact is fact and policy is policy, but assign to it evil. But I think that has become quite common on the left. And I think that also one of the things that I struggle with is the really obvious kind of anti-Semitism, in a way, is easier, and people know how to respond to that. Like, people are appalled. But there's a way of thinking among the people, you know, our allies, a way of framing the world in terms of power. Who has power and who's a victim? And you, in this frame that includes sort of screens or filters of colonialism and an emphasis on sort of, you know, to put it simply, sort of, you know, the white colonialists oppressing the dark-skinned or, you know, the people of color victims. And it's an anemic way to see the world, of course, because people can have power and also be victims. There's much more complexity and much more nuance in that. And I found that worldview has empowered people to use a really broad brushstroke and take sides in a way that's just utterly unhelpful. And that chooses one narrative over all sorts of other narratives. You know, and that has become... that's become a difficult way of seeing the world. It's a worldview with no complexity and no nuance, and we see that on the left also.
Yeah.
And another thing, this is the last thing I'll say about it. A lot of people of goodwill, partners, people I work with all the time on all sorts of interfaith, intergroup, justice efforts, people of goodwill who really want to do the right thing, recognizing that this is a very difficult moment to be Muslim in this country. And they assume that the Muslims and the Jews hate each other. And they will unwittingly, unintentionally, sort of pit us against each other. And I think that there is great opportunity for to encourage relations between Muslims and Jews. I have some lovely relationships with Muslim friends, and I think that non-Muslim, non-Christian, I mean, non-Muslims and non-Jews have a great opportunity to be a third party to bring us together and to help deepen that relationship. So that was a long answer.
No, and that was an important answer. Matt emailed, what are your examples of anti-Semitic far left? But I'm going to go broader than that. We've been talking about the bomb threats at the Jewish centers. We didn't really talk about the desecration of you know, cemeteries, Jewish cemeteries around the country. But you'd mentioned you released an audit in February. Give us a sense as to what sort of hate incidents, anti-Semitic incidents the Jewish community has been facing.
Oh, good. Thank you for asking. Throughout the year, we receive and monitor anti-Semitic incidents. People will report them to us, and then we'll follow up as appropriate. Sometimes, by the way, people tell us about things, and they say, please don't do anything. I don't want anything done, but I want you to know. And it's helpful for us to have a picture of what it's like to be Jewish. So we then go through, I know this is just sort of setting it up. We are very careful to not call everything anti-Semitism. We have a process. We have three different groups that meet. After I go through it with my chairs, my volunteer chairs of the task force, anti-Semitism task force, it goes through three different sets of meetings, or three different meetings where we really determine, have we corroborated this enough? Is this anti-Semitism? Let's not be too sensitive. So anyway, we are careful with that. But just looking at the audit from last year, there have been we divided into harassment, threats, and assault. A local attorney got an email from somebody who threatened to kill him and said, one less Jew in the law office, the better. An Orthodox family in the west side of Milwaukee sitting outside, and somebody drove by, and I cannot repeat what he said because two of the five words are words we can't say on the radio, but yelled at him. And actually, I think there were two like that. Lots of vandalism last year. And maybe the most troubling was something that spread over 2 years, but there was ongoing bullying of some kids who live in a west suburb where there's a very small Jewish population, very small, by the way, population of anybody who isn't white and Christian. I think that to be Muslim or to be African-American there or to be gay in that school is probably very challenging. And we heard from people that it is, you know, it's pretty homogeneous and it's a challenging environment. But the children in the school, there was one in middle school and one in high school, just endured incredible bullying, some of which also I can't repeat. And that was primarily in 2015. And then again, we saw last year, after the parents pulled the children out of the school system, actually one of them graduated early and the other they put into a different school, a parochial school. But they had, again, incidents last year. There was an unexploded grenade firework put on their porch as a threat, taunted with Nazi language. I'm just looking at the list. I hate Zionists. That was a different thing at a university. Another school in Washington County. Another student who was being who endured persistent bullying was by another, just an individual student who called her a salty effing Jew. That was the one that we recorded, but I guess it was just ongoing.
Yeah.
So it's, and this is just, I'm just, like, I'm looking through the list. A high school student said at a private school, we have to get rid of the Jews once and for all. We know, by the way, that this is just a bit of what actually happens, because we know that there's underreporting. Every time this comes out, people say, oh, I didn't tell you. Yeah, this happened to me or my neighbor or oh, I didn't think to report this.
Let me take one last call before we might have to wrap things up. Barb in Milwaukee, what did you want to say?
Hi. I wonder why we're walking around the elephant in the room. I mean, Donald Trump chose Steve Bannon as his chief strategist. And Steve Bannon is a huge white supremacist, anti-Semitic, anti-gay, anti-everything. And he's directing Trump. And when Trump was endorsed by the KKK and didn't say, no, I don't want your endorsement, you know, he just opened up the floodgates to all the haters out there. They rushed to vote for him. I'm not saying everyone who voted for him was, but many of the haters felt that they found somebody like them. And that's why this is all going on, because now it's acceptable. The president is on their side.
And I'm going to jump in, Barb, because we're almost out of time. We started and we might as well conclude here. Ilana, is that why, in part, why you think there has been such a big rise just this year in these anti-Semitic incidents?
I do. Yeah. I do. When Steve Bannon was chosen to be special advisor, we came out with a statement, and we don't come out with a lot of statements, and we did come out with a statement. I would say that I don't know what's in his heart. We don't measure what's in people's hearts, but we can say that he's called Breitbart the platform for the alt-right, and the alt-right is indeed a vile, anti-Semitic, racist publication. So I think that it's absolutely true that Trump has, you know, the most generous we can be is to say that President Trump has given a green light to hate. I think we could say more, but I think he's given a green light, and I think he has, you know, he's stepped up a little since then. But it is frightening. We just celebrated Jews just celebrated the holiday of Purim, in which there is a king who, this is a longer
almost,
story,
almost out of time, so I don't know if we can finish the story.
Okay.
So,
okay.
But we'll talk again. Thank you very much for being with us. Ilana Khan, Director of the Jewish Community Relations Council at the Milwaukee Jewish Federation. Thanks to Naeja Ellison for producing the program. I'm Joy Cardine.